and open your Bibles back up to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we did look at three verses. We will be looking at several verses in Psalm 119. Does anyone know what those three verses had in common? Anyone? What do you think? You don't even remember the verse. What? A little more specific. Where'd it come from? Brother Korea, is that you? What is it? Thy Word. And that is the title of the message this morning, Thy Word. Father, I pray for your help now as we look at Thy Word. And I pray that you will use it in our lives today as you do all the time. You said it would not return void. When we just preach it, when we just speak it, when we just read it, something will happen. It is powerful, Thy Word. And I pray you'll use it now in our lives. If there's anyone here not saved, Lord, please show them today their need. And I pray you'll save them in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It is an amazing, amazing reading as you read the references to the Word of God. I didn't plan this, but if you just start looking through, I'm on verse 81. There we have Thy Word again. In verse 82, we have Thy Word. In verse 83, we have the word statutes. In verse 84, we have judgment. In verse 85, we have Thy law. Verse 86, we have Thy commandments. Verse 87, we have Thy precepts. Verse 88, we have the testimony of Thy mouth. Verse 89, Thy word. Verse 90, we have Thy faithfulness. And verse 91, ordinances. Verse 92, we have the law, Thy law. Verse 93, we have precepts. Verse 94, precepts. Verse 95, by the way, precepts are God's principles. And just talking about God's word. We have His testimonies in verse 95. Remember, His word is His promise. It's what He is telling us. And often that is in by way of promise. God says, I give you my word. As a person would say, I give you my word. God gives His word to us. It is His promise to us. By the way, if you're discouraged, if you're down, you open up the Word of God. And if you had time, you could read all the way through and you find out we win. Amen. I mean, the end is a wonderful ending. And if you just need some encouragement, read the end. Amen. And it'll be a blessing to you. But Thy Word is the title of the message today because I want to talk to you about that. In fact, it is very interesting in Psalm 119 that all but, I don't know the exact amount, I was going to look that up, but all but three or four of the verses in all of Psalm 119, all of the verses except three or four of them give some kind of reference to God's word, to His word, judgments or testimonies or precepts or the law or commandments or something like that. And in fact, in Psalm 119, 35 verses use those two words, Thy word. And so you can see clearly God wants us to know about His word. He wants us to understand some things about His word. And so this morning I wanted to focus on that. We really haven't talked about it. We celebrated the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible, celebrated that last summer. And what a blessing that was. It was exciting, and preached a little bit about the Word of God and all of that. But today, just in general, I want to talk about Thy Word as the Word of God. It's interesting, Psalm 138 and verse 2. Go ahead and turn there. Psalm 138, verse 2. Keep your place in Psalm 119. Psalm 198, verse 2. 138, verse 2. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. So many people want to play down the word of God, and God wants us to lift up His word. He's magnified His word above all His name. And we certainly have got to understand the importance of the word of God, at least to God. It is God-breathed, God's word breathed out to you and I, spoken by God so that you and I could get it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's breathed out by God. And that is God's word. That's why, by the way, we don't need visions today. We don't need a voice from heaven. We don't need an angel to tell us anything. We don't need any extracurricular revelation from anything, anybody, anytime, anywhere, because we already have the perfect word of God. We have people today that, they want to talk about dreams, and good night. I am so glad dreams don't mean much. My wife has dreams. They scare me sometimes. She has weird dreams. I had a weird dream the other day, I think, because she talks about her dreams. And whenever she's sick, she has some weird dreams. And I'm not going to tell you her dream. No, I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, people want to make a lot out of that. And then, I had this vision and I saw, and they want to make a big deal out of it. Well, I heard a voice from heaven and it told me this and that. And folks, we have the word. And the words of God Almighty. And, it always amazes me how that we can't do all that it says. Why would we need anything else? Why would you need any more? Why would you be searching for more things when we already have everything that we need in the Word of God? Thank God for our Bibles. Thank God that you could have a Bible and you could carry a Bible with you today. Thank God you could bring it with you to church. Thank the Lord that the children over in the school, in the junior churches, they can have little New Testaments or they can carry Bibles. Praise God that we have the words of God in the language that we can understand. And aren't you glad to have the Word of God? And by the way, if you don't have one, we'll get you one. And most people here have several Bibles in their possession. They have them with them now. They have them at home. They have them in their office, perhaps. And praise the Lord that we can have the Word of God. But I want to show you some things about His Word today that just jump out to me as I read Psalm 119. And the first thing is, His Word is amazing. It absolutely is amazing. You'll notice verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I read things all the time about so-and-so wrote a new book, such-and-such is writing a new book, and all these things are being written. You know, have you ever thought about the word of God? It's already been settled in eternity. It always has been. It always will be. It is already settled, and it will be settled forever. Doesn't have to be updated, doesn't have to be redone. It's settled in heaven, always will be. We don't have to worry about it being changed. We don't have to worry about it changing. It's already settled in heaven. I mean, it is an amazing, amazing book. God doesn't have to write another book. He already said it all in His first book. You know, I understand the idea of writing a lot of books. I understand there was a day, and I talk about it all the time, I'm going to write a book. Many of you know some of the titles I've suggested. My best book is still the one that I want to do, but I'm not going to do it. If it was Sunday night, I would tell you what it is. But no, you can't handle it on Sunday. Sunday morning crowd cannot handle these books. But anyway, the reason you write all these books, you write volume one, volume two, why do you think? Money, that's exactly right. But another reason might be that you can't say it all in the first book. Just like my one book entitled, there's no way. I mean, it keeps adding to itself. It becomes volumes and volumes. And but isn't it amazing that in this book that we all have a copy of today, it's all written. Everything's done. Everything is written that is in the heart of God Almighty that He wants us to know. It's all here in this book. Isn't that? That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. I hope it's amazing to you today, because the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of people today say, well, the Bible contains the words of God. No, the Bible is the Word of God. Somebody will say, well, I don't understand it. But here's the thing. Do you know the author today? Because I'll be honest with you, till I knew the author, I didn't understand it either. Till I got to know the author and I found out I could talk to him and I could ask him, do you ever come to a verse in the Bible and just say, God, I don't get it? You know, sometimes he gives me a piece that I'm not going to get it right now. Sometimes he lets me know that, you know what, it's not for me to necessarily get right now, but someday I'll get it. And I've seen that to be true many times. But it's so wonderful to be able to go to the author and to talk to the author and say, you know, I don't get this, God. Would you show me? Would you explain that to me? And he always, always answers me. Yeah, like I say, sometimes the answer is you're not going to get it right now. But sometimes the answer is the answer. Here's what it means. Sometimes he shows me in my life what that verse means. And it's just an amazing thing when you think about the Bible working like that. I mean, most books don't do that for you. Most books can't even help you with your personal life. I mean, fiction, you know, a novel or something like that. I mean, there may be some parallels. There may be some similarities to your life. But the Bible is our life. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about our life. And that's an amazing thing. I mean, it is perfect in science. It is perfect in history. It is true in all those things. It is perfect in math. We're doing a series on New Testament math. We're adding to our salvation. You add this, you add this, you add this. And we're going to add other things. And we're going to multiply some things. And we'll divide a few things. And we might even subtract some things. And praise the Lord, it's always true. God's Word. There is a book called Numbers. Amen. You don't have to teach God how to count. You don't have to teach God anything about math. The Bible is true in all facts. Anything that we study, the Bible is true in that. Somebody says, well, what about philosophy? Are you kidding? God knows all about philosophy. His is always right, too, by the way. Amen. I mean, you don't even have to worry about nothing to challenge. It is true. Do you know the greatest fact of history is Jesus Christ? Everything about Jesus is the greatest fact of history. The prophecy before he was born, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the fact that he's coming again. I mean, it's all right here in our Bible. History is his story. And that's a good way to remember history. It's amazing how we leave the Bible out of our public schools and still call it a school. Because the Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. It is an amazing book. It is a book that tells us everything that we need to know. And God gave us a work that's going to continue all the way into eternity. Do you know how many times the enemies have tried to destroy the Bible? They're trying to destroy it now. Trying to change it, trying to corrupt it, trying to do that, and just trying to destroy it, trying to make it illegal. Some countries, it's illegal to have a Bible. Aren't you glad it's not that way in our country? Might be someday, but right now it's not. Amen. And we can read it. We can read it anytime we want. We don't have to get somebody's permission. We just pull out our Bible and read the words of God. And it's going to last into eternity. You know, folks, you cannot just set it aside. You cannot just set it aside. You need to read it and memorize the words. And we can't ignore it because it's the truth. That's the amazing thing to me. It's all true. You know, you take a textbook, and textbooks sometimes, you might find an error somewhere. You might find something that's not right. But the Word of God, it is the truth. Whether people like it or not, it is still the truth. Put away the phone, please. All right. Man in prison one time. I was talking to him, and he was in prison. He says to me, he says, now, you know, I have this certain belief. He said, I'm not really here. I just looked at him. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'm not really. I said, where are you? He said, well, I'm just not here. I said, okay. I said, who am I talking to then? You know? I mean, there are a lot of people that follow a lot of wacky things, and what are they doing? They're just trying to deny the truth. Just trying to say, you know, they're trying to deny that which is true. That's what somebody does that says, well, I don't believe the Bible. Then you just don't believe the truth. That's all. One time, I was helping one of my deacons back in Indiana, and he delivers popcorn and different stuff, and my wife and I, many times we would go do that and get away and stuff, but I was with another person and helping out doing that, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden the wheel fell off, and you know, that's never a good thing. I mean, it's just very inconvenient, and we're going along about 50 miles an hour, and I'm serious, a wheel just falls off, and all of a sudden we go, you know, and I mean, it's dangerous, and it's a tough ride without a wheel. Try it sometime. No, don't. But I mean, we're, you know, and so I call him up, and I said, Brian, you're not going to believe it. I said, the wheel fell off. He said, that can't happen. I'm looking out at the truck, and it's, you know, it's leaning like this, and what we just, I said, oh, it can happen, believe me. And, you know, some people just, they say, well, that can't be. Listen to me, folks. If God says it, it's true. God says it, it's truth. Somebody once said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Truth is, whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's already settled, it's done. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. If I wrote a book, I'll be honest, I would have to speculate a few things. I'd have to guess on a few things. I'd have to say, well, I suppose. Kind of like Darwin in his book, he wrote about evolution. Well, I suppose. About every other word was I suppose. You know, here's what God says. God said, thus saith the Lord. It's a fact. It's done. It's settled. It's established. His word is absolutely amazing. You know, you can't make fun of it and get rid of it. It doesn't work that way. You know, some things you make fun of them enough, man mocks them enough, man makes fun of it enough, the internet gets a hold of it, and pretty soon it's nobody's paying attention to it anymore. Not the Bible. You can't do it. Look, the truth of the matter is, the Bible stands. Amen? I love that song. The Bible stands, and it will forever. Praise God. You know, whether people believe it or not, it's still the Bible. It's still His Word. It's still thy Word. Doesn't matter. You say today, well, I don't really believe it, but that doesn't change anything. It's kind of like when we lived in Bern, Indiana, and we were surrounded by Amish. And, you know, they would say they didn't believe in electricity. But it was amazing how they liked other people's electricity that they didn't believe in. They didn't believe in telephones. But they enjoyed using our telephone sometimes. Are y'all listening? You know, hey, wait a minute. What you don't believe in those things, but well, no, we don't believe, but they're real. They're real. You know, it doesn't matter. Somebody, and I've had so many people say, well, I don't believe in hell. You will. You will. There are no atheists in hell. Are you listening? Because once they're there, they'll believe. But it's too late. It's too late. And I don't say that in a smug way. I say that in a way that it should get your attention. Honestly, just because we don't believe it, it's an amazing book. It's still true. It is true. It is the only truth that exists. It really is. And praise the Lord. You know, the truth of the Word of God is a truth that caused Felix to tremble. You know, here's the king. He can make the decision. He can have off with their heads. But he trembled when he heard Paul telling him the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how many times in soul winning have you watched God grip somebody's heart and shake it? I remember my first time soul winning. The guy, we gave the truth of the Scripture, simply said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that man literally shook the coffee out of his cup. Never forget. And I thought, wow, I like this. That was just from the Word of God, folks. No, nobody was shaking him. Nobody was pushing him. Nobody was telling him anything, any kind of story, anything like that. Simply told him the truth of the Word of God. And, you know, the amazing thing, and I'll move on after this, but one of the most amazing things about the Word of God, when you persecute it, it grows. Amen. When you attack it, it just gets stronger. Study the early church. And how did the early church grow? How did the word spread? How did God's word spread? It spread because people attacked it. Yeah. Devil, he has to really scratch his nasty old head, doesn't he? When he deals with the Word of God. How do you get rid of it? How do you stop it? I mean, he incites men to kill the Christians, and before they die, they're reciting the Word of God. And before they die, they're giving out the Word of God to people that are standing there saying, wow, I've never thought about that before. And it works in their heart, and it works in their life, and it will just keep working because the Word of God is eternal. It's alive. It's an amazing, amazing book. His Word is amazing. Number two, and I love this, His Word is assuring. His Word is assuring. Look at verse 42. And I'll give you a couple verses. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. It's assuring. I can trust in the Word of God. I can't trust any other book. I mean, there's some books I may like. There's some books that I may enjoy. There's some books that may help me. But I can't trust in them like I can trust in thy word. Notice verse 28. The Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. His word is assuring and it strengthens. And go back to verse 11. Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I mean, the great protection that you and I have as Christians today is that we can hide God's word in our hearts. So when temptation comes, the word which is alive, are you listening? It's alive and it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can work in my heart and it can help me when temptation comes. If I've hidden it in my heart, there's an assurance there. There's an assurance there. We can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How do you know Jesus is your? Because his word told me. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. How do you know it's a foretaste of glory? Because God told me. Because he describes heaven to me. Because he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. Many mansions. Hey, one of those is my mansion. Amen. Oh, listen to me. You got to understand something. There's a lot of tear-jerking novels out there, and there's a lot of short stories out there. And then, you know, in our English classes, we need to read some of those things. And well, I say we. I did years ago. I don't anymore. But anyway, those tear-jerking novels and all those, there's no comparison to what God's Word can assure you with today. There's not a comparison in this world. You're going through a tough time, get out the Word of God. You're going through a valley in your life, get out the Word of God and start to read the blessed book that will give you the comfort that you need, because the Bible, His Word, is assuring to you and I. Praise God for that. It gives us comfort, comfort in a world of tears. You know, the Bible says man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Amen. We just have trouble. We get in trouble, don't we? Huh? I mean, there's trouble after us. You know, trouble kind of chases after us, and then sometimes we let it in. Amen? I mean, we just get in trouble. That's what God said. He said, we're born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But that's why he gave us Psalm 23. Look at it real quick. Psalm 23. Seems like we only ever read it at a funeral. Some people say, I don't like Psalm 23 because I'm always sad when it's being read, right? But look what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, we're just dumb sheep. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Huh? I mean, we're just sheep. We you know, the Lord is our shepherd, though. Okay, so if we're a dumb sheep, then praise God, we have a shepherd. Praise God, we have somebody that will guide us. Praise God, we have somebody that'll find the pasture. He'll find the water. He'll take care of the needs that we have, because we're just dumb sheep. What would we do? We'd walk off a cliff. Why would we walk off a cliff? Because somebody else would tell us to walk off the cliff. I mean, we are just bad. Amen? I mean, we are. And thank God, though, and it's so comforting to me, the Lord is my shepherd. I think of the psalm. Can you imagine David out there watching the dumb sheep? Can you imagine? They're doing all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, here comes a wolf, or some of you may say a woof. You know, and you know, here comes the wolf, and the sheep. You know, the wolf says, "You remember the cartoon? They were with Bugs Bunny back when cartoons were really funny. Remember? You know, when cartoons you could actually laugh and enjoy them, and you didn't have to worry about weird stuff that was going on. And the wolf comes and has a fake sheep clothing on it. You know, and the Bible talks about that. And you know, here's the sheep, and the sheep saying, "Well, come on in. You don't look like a sheep, but I'll trust you and believe you." Oh, praise God for the shepherd. Praise God, the Lord's my shepherd. Because, you know, here comes a shepherd with his rod and his staff. Clunk, you know, knocks that wolf upside the head. Glory to God. I'm so glad for that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Aren't you glad they're green pastures? Praise God. We got to eat. Amen. Amen. That's why they're green pastures. He leadeth. I'm glad it doesn't say he maketh me to lie down in the desert. Are y'all here today? It started in Sunday school. It's kind of spreading. All right, let's get with it here. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my. Aren't you glad it's still waters? Have you ever tried to drink out of the ocean? Yeah. That's a pain. It really is, because it's salty. And but those still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with us. Amen. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's in his word. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table. Isn't that good? Before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here's the enemy. We're going to kill you. We're going to get you. We're after you. And the Lord says, sit down, my son. I have a T-bone steak, medium. I have fried taters and onions. I have chocolate pie. Okay. I have green beans with bacon and lots of grease. And I have a meal for thee to eat. And the enemies are, rah, rah, rah. And the Lord says, it's okay, my son, just eat. Isn't that good? I love it. I say, you can't have my pie, enemy. You can't have my steak, enemy. And you can't have my fried taters and onions, enemy. I might give you a green bean. But, you know, it's good stuff, folks. Well, the green beans are okay, too. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for. What's he saying? Verse 6. He's saying everything's good now and it's getting better. Glory to God. Boy, we should tell your face. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. What's that all about? It's about victory over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, great. You know, we're scared to death of death. Follow that out. Okay, you know, we're doing everything we can. That's why we go to the doctor. We spend hundreds. We spend thousands. We buy vitamins. We exercise. Well, we don't so much, but people exercise. And you know, we check with herbalists and vegetarianisms and vegans and pagans. No, but all that kind of stuff. What are we trying to do? We don't want to die. And we buy life insurance just in case. But you know what? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? You go by a cemetery and you think it's singing victory? No, the cemetery didn't win. You know why? Because I ain't there. It's a body there, but I'm not going to be there. My wife and I, we several years ago, we bought plots. And but we don't know where they are yet. We have to go pick out the plots. We bought somebody's plots, but we have to pick them out, if that makes any sense. And it's just funny to me anyway. But she would like to be by an evergreen tree. And me, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. You know why? I'm not going to be there. But I think she's thinking, you know, if David and Angela, if they want to come and look sometime, why? Anyway, I'm not a graveyard kind of a guy because I just don't remember ever spending time with anybody in a graveyard. But you know what? When they bury this body, I'm not there. Grave has no victory. It hasn't got me. And when the director is trying to sell me a vault that doesn't leak, I'm going to say, I really don't care whether it leaks because I'm not there. Don't need scuba gear. I'm not there. Amen. How do you know that, preacher? Thy word. That's how I know it. Thy word. Now, I've never died. So I'm not sure what that's like. You ever dream that you die? How many have? I've dreamed I die. They say if you dream, you die, and you die in your dream, you really die. But it seems like I've died because it seems like I've dreamed that I died, and I saw myself dead. What? And I didn't die. How do you know? My heart's beating, and I'm here, unless I'm like that guy in jail, and I'm really not. But anyway, now that you're totally confused, let me unconfuse you. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we're out of here. Amen. Tribulation comes, we won't be here. Amen. We're gone. We're gone. And there's going to be a tribulation, and the old world's going to be a mess, and it's going to get worse. And you think it's bad now, it's getting worse. 7 years tribulation, and we're gone. That's a comfort to me. People say, well, you know, there's conspiracies going on. There's all kinds of people out to get you. They are. But you know what? They aren't going to get me. Why? Because God's word gives me comfort. Thy word. Revelation 21, Revelation 22 talks about Satan's defeat. Ooh, I'm excited about that. Just let me get in a kick. Amen? Amen. During your hour of sorrow, you need to understand something. His word. Thy word. Thy word will be a comfort to you. How many times, how many cemeteries, how many hospitals, how many times in counseling, how many times has somebody walked out the door of my office and I've had to say, oh God, please give me your comfort. I need your comfort. Praise God. His word is assuring. It's assuring. It's a comfort. It's an encouragement. Abraham, Joshua, Moses, David, they were comforted by the word of God. They were encouraged. They were encouraged to go on. How about Jonah and a whale? You know, that's an encouragement to me that Jonah sinned and God sent a whale to swallow him and let him get right with him. Praise God. You say, yeah, but he was covered in whale vomit. Yeah, but praise God, he went on and did a great work for God. Amen. Amen. It's an encouragement to me that John Mark was able to leave but come back. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that Moses, though he killed a man, God was able to use him. God was able to use David after his sin. God was able to use Abraham. God was able to use Joshua. God's able to use me. What an encouragement. The word of God, it's assuring to me. It's assuring when I have a doubting heart because Satan wants me to doubt. And he throws things at me that cause me to doubt. And I lean toward doubting, certainly more than I lean toward believing. But God's word, it assures me that God's word is always true. And then I can have faith to believe him. How about Thomas, who had a doubting heart? I'm so glad God told us about Thomas. I'm so glad that there was one that God ended up using that doubted. And of course, the Word of God tells us the greatest message of all the earth, and that's the gospel and how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. What a blessing it is to know for sure we're going to heaven, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There's people all over this world that wonder, question, doubt, not sure. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I hope so. Those are sad, sad words, folks. You know what's a great thing to be able to say? I know. I know I'm going to heaven. I know. There's no question about that. It's an assuring book. God's word. God's word. And you know, that salvation, it doesn't talk about a new lifestyle. It talks about a new life. Transformed. We become new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And praise God for salvation. It's assuring. It's assuring. His word, it's amazing. His word is assuring. And then the last thing, his word is the answer. It's the answer. All of life's questions are answered by the word of God. Verse 105, we read it a little while ago. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the answer to every question. It's black or white. God's word has no gray areas at all. We want there to be gray areas. We want wiggle room. We all do. We live that way. We can't stand when somebody says, this is how it is. We always want wiggle room. Students love it in school. You know, when the teacher, well, you know, maybe. And the maybe always supersedes. It always goes whatever way the student says, even a maybe. Always. I mean, maybe should be multiplied by 10 in their eyes. If you say maybe, you might as well have said go ahead. That's how all of us are. But God just says, here's how it is. It's black, it's white, it's right. It's wrong, it's heaven, it's hell, it's salvation, it's damnation. There's not an in-between. All the Catholics wanted to add purgatory in there somewhere. They didn't get it out of God's word. Oh, you know, there's a little wiggle room on this south. No, 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 there's not. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, that's it, period. That's the line right there. Die, judgment, die, judgment, die, judgment. You say, what about when a Christian dies? Judgment's already happened. Jesus took my punishment on the cross. I'm not guilty. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a line right there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Die, heaven, die, heaven. Praise God. You ought to get excited about that. You can tell I am. The Bible's the answer. His word, it's the answer. It's the answer. There's no in between. It's unchanging. The same yesterday, today, forever. Same books now. You know, that I read when I first got saved. Same thing. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of books now. This is becoming a real cute little thing where they offer alternate endings. You know, well, if you didn't like that ending, read this ending. Do you want a happy ending or do you want a sad ending? Can you imagine writing a book like that? You know, well, here's four or five different endings. Okay, here's an ending if you're a pessimist. You know, you read that ending. Here's an ending if you're an optimist. You read that ending. Here's an ending if you're an idiot. Read that ending. You know, you say, preacher, who would everybody would check it out. Come on, you check it out. That's kind of like one of the books I'm going to write. But anyway, you got to understand that they offer, you know what? This book, the ending is always the same. It's always the same. It does not change, and it's not going to change. And it doesn't matter if it's not popular. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It is unchanging. You can count on this book every time. It's the answer. You know, a lot of books become condensed. They become revised, all that kind of stuff, because men are trying to run from whatever it might say or whatever it might have said. But the Bible does not change. It is firm. There is no compromise. You cannot change it. And by the way, you shouldn't be able to change its church either. And you shouldn't be able to change a Christian either. But, you know, it's sad that while man is compromising, the old book just stays the same. And praise God, it's unchanging. His word is the answer. By the way, if it's the answer, why would you change it? Well, I just, you know, 2 + 2. Or if you're Brother Hollins, it's 4. Now, he is the only person that is allowed to change that answer. And he changes it from 4 to 4. 4. 4. But it's hard for me to say. But why would you change? Well, I just don't like the number 4. It offends me. It's, you know, I don't like, so I like circles more than I like sticks. Right. Stay with me now. I like circles better than I like sticks. So 4 is offensive because it's all lines, and I like circles. I want it to be 8. So from now on, 2 + 2 is going to be 8. Or I'll tell you what, it could be 3. Well, or 2. That's okay. 4, boring. Right? But you can't change it, can you? I mean, 2 + 2. It's still 4. Right? Amen. Now look, that's what everybody, I mean, so many people, well, yeah, but I don't like that you could go to hell. I don't like that you can be condemned. I don't like that man is going to burn in a lake of fire. I don't like, but you can't change the truth. You can't change it. But I don't like that's a sin. Because I like the sin. But you can't change, just like you can't change 2 + 2 = 4. It's unchanging. It's a message for everybody. It's the answer for all of us. Everybody. There's no favorites. I love that. At first, it bothered me when I first became a Christian and I found out David sinned. I'll never forget the first time a preacher preached. It was down in Bible college. He preached about David, and I'm going, I never knew that. David did that? David, you are bad. And I thought, why would God tell us that David did that? It bothered me. I couldn't believe it. But I found out that, praise God, it just tells the truth about everything. It pictures man for what he really is. You've heard the story about the king. He wanted his portrait to be painted because they didn't have cameras back in the kingly days. And he wanted his portrait to be painted. So the royal painter came and painted his, and the king saw his portrait. He said, what? He was enraged. And he's ready to say off with his head, which is always inconvenient. But he is so mad. The artist says, oh, king, why are you so upset? He said, well, you look at that thing on my nose. Thou hast desecrated my royal nose. It was a wart. He said, king, I painted it as you are, not as you want to be. And you see, that's our problem with the Bible often. we want it as we want it to be instead of how we are. See, God shows us just how we are, just like we are. The rich fool in Luke 12, he's the rich fool. Yeah, but I don't like the word fool. I'm offended by the word fool. Yeah. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, yeah, he goes to hell. The rich man in hell, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Yeah, just like it is. And yet in Matthew 23, Jesus calls men to salvation. In the Word of God, he tells Zacchaeus, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Nicodemus, who's moral and religious and good night, I mean, this guy would be a leader in most churches, but he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the truth. It's the truth. It's the answer to. People say, I don't know why I do what I do. God tells you why you do what you do. People say, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. God will tell you what can happen to you when you die. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't that's such a beautiful verse, Isaiah 1:18. That is so beautiful. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's, God says, but it's so precious. He says, now I want to tell you what to do with your sins, okay? They are scarlet. They can be white. They are red, but they can be white as snow. Now, but let's reason together, saith the Lord. I love that. Isn't that precious? Yeah. And that's the answer. That's the answer. A lawyer one time said, before I got saved, I used to think that if I ever became a Christian, it'd have to be in some great center of learning where all my questions could be answered. Instead, he said, I was saved at a rescue mission surrounded by poor derelicts. When I knelt, I had many questions. But when I got up, my questions were gone. And you know what? They're not all answered. They're just removed. Because when you come face to face with the truth, it's all you need. You don't need anything else. Praise God. His word is the answer. I challenge you, go through Psalm 119, see all the times thy word is mentioned. Go through maybe and look at all the references to the word of God. And when you do, I think you'll agree his word is amazing. His word is assuring. His word is the answer. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Just a moment, we'll give an invitation. Certainly, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to have you come. And somebody will take the Bible, the Word of God, and they'll show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. That's going on here. That's going on over in 1st through 3rd grade junior church and 4th through 6th grade junior church and 4 and 5-year-olds and anywhere, really, on our property. Praise God, you can see from God's word how to be saved and how to go to heaven. Maybe you're a Christian today and God's speaking to your heart about something in your life. Maybe it's about reading his word. When we give the invitation, if you need to pray about something, certainly we'd want you to come. Is there someone that'd say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. We're not going to come get you. We won't embarrass you. We would like to pray for you. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, bless the invitation and help us to just delight in your word. And I pray you'll use it in our lives. and help us to see it afresh today and to read it and to apply it and to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.